Technorama episode 667 for March 9th, 2022, Temporal Radiation. Hello and welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome to the show. We appreciate you giving us your time. And if you're coming back from parts unknown, whether it was the last episode or one about 12 years ago or 17 years ago.
Yeah.
We've all gotten a little older. Oh. Welcome back. We appreciate you coming back. My name is Chuck Tomasi, a little sore in the throat from our recent Star Trek cruise, but that's okay with me. I will gladly give up some vocal quality for a fun time with a whole bunch of celebrities and really good friends out at sea that we only get to see once a year, kind of like Dragon Con. And Speak of Dragon Con, let's bring in the one and only Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm doing well. Actually, unlike you, I've been on land, so I'm not swaying back and forth.
I am.
I didn't lose my voice, anything like that. So
you got to join us next year. It's a whole lot of fun. As you can clearly tell, I'm at the top of my game tonight.
I know. I did kind of miss being on it. But we had other things going on, so
yeah, of course. You've always got Harrison's birthday like right on that week. It's like who timed that cruise? We went on the first one. It was in January. It wasn't a problem.
Well, that's right, and I was like, yeah, this is gonna be great, you know. And it was. And then the next year they announced on that cruise they announced the dates, and like, wait, March. Oh,
doggone it. And it doesn't sound like it's going to be moving. It's like one day earlier because they're going Friday to Friday. But it is off the West Coast. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Let's save that story for where the news goes. In the meantime, we've got some feedback for you.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get the letters every day.
Rip.
Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you got to say.
Oh boy.
Mailman. Mail today.
All right, our question of the week from the last show, which was a couple of weeks ago. We missed one. Yes. We're kind of doing this on and off again thing because next week we're going to be off for something. I can't remember. Craig and I worked this out. It was like,
we'll make it up. We'll let you know the day before.
It was very binary. It was like, that weekend is a show. That weekend is no show. This is a show. That's right. That's a no show. And all I remember, I'll look at my personal calendar later. But we asked you a couple of weeks ago, what is your worst personality characteristic you find in a character? And I'm assuming you mean like books and movies and TV shows.
Sure.
Because I've got friends who are characters and I don't want to call out anyone specific on their personality.
Fictional.
Oh, good. Okay. John Kratzer says, arrogance, .. Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, that's right. John Mueller Jr., our buddy, says, intense rage.
.. Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah, intense rage. I would take that a little step further. Intense rage for no reason, because there's been several shows or movies and stuff, and you're like, why is this guy really angry? You know,
well, wasn't Batman based on intense rage? His whole avenging.
I'm not gonna say intense rage. I think he was doing it to avenge his parents, or you know.
Okay.
Anyway,
we'll go with that.
Yeah.
Let me see. I had a
comment.
Question of the week in here. I did have a comment. I just can't find. Oh, Myron said, someone who will not keep their word. See, that could be in real life or could be a fictional character on a movie or a book or something, too. Mm-hmm. I agree completely with that one. It was a year ago that one came up to number one on my list when I asked some people at work. They volunteered. First, they volunteered to help out. And it was like an 8-week project, and 6 weeks in, a couple of them went, I can't do this in time. And I just about blew a top. It was just really irritating.
I remember that.
Ooh.
Yep. So, you know, I like, you know, villains that have, that think they're doing the right thing and not really angry, but they're more driven, you know, and then the things are in their way and they have to try and get to their end goal. But I can't really think of another characteristic.
Mike says social justice smarminess.
Batman was just jealous of the Joker.
Right.
Yes.
Myron's social, asking, do we have a Cylon in this? Social justice smarminess. There it is. Must have been my singing for the letters music where you went.
So what bugs you about a character?
I got to think about that one. I should have thought about it earlier today.
You had a couple of weeks.
Yeah, but I only socialized it this afternoon. It's only been a couple hours. I can tell you what I do like. So maybe what I don't like is the antithesis of it. I like when there's a good balance of, you know, like a villain, and this isn't even necessarily to villains what you like or don't like, but a villain that really works well with the protagonist. You know, they are complete opposites, and you know they hate each other, but they wouldn't be what they are without each other.
Yeah.
You know, take Holmes and Moriarty. Let's just take a classic example. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to have a Moriarty if you're going to have a good Holmes. Otherwise, he's just, you know, a very observant detective that goes around and, you know, there's nobody really there to push him harder. There's nobody there to challenge him. And even, you know, question, is he doing the right thing at this point? To go, sometimes the wrong thing is the right thing. So if the villain doesn't do that, if the antagonist doesn't do that, it feels weak. Which kind of reminds me of, and we'll probably get more into this on the topic as Trek, but who's the big baddies in the, you know, 29th century or wherever we are? We haven't heard much from the Romulans in seasons 3 or 4.
The
Romulans and the Vulcans joined for Navarre. Okay. So it's not the Klingons in the 32nd century, or is it? Yeah. We haven't heard from them. So anyway, you say what is a weak characteristic? I just say, you know, being a weak character.
Well, yeah, that's true. Oh, here you go. Just being George Clooney, maybe. I like George Clooney in certain situations, not as Batman, of course. I didn't care for him as Batman, but
yeah, no, that one didn't work. Val Kilmer didn't work for me either. Actually, a lot of the early remakes of Batman didn't work. Anyway, let's get on. That was our question of the week. We'll have another one for you at the end of the show. We'll socialize that and let's get on with it. And we'll roll right into the history.
All right.
No guests on the show, so we don't need to roll the dice.
I was going to reach for him, by the way.
That was weird. I was adjusting the right fader, and the left one wasn't going along with me. But I adjust the left one, the right one goes along with it. It's like, you know, they're supposed to work together if you just grab one. Anyway, on this day in history for March 9th, 2022, this is the 68th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are just, oh, man, it's going so fast. Hello, March. 297 days remaining in 2022. It was on this date in 1815 that Francis Reynolds describes the first battery-operated clock in the Philosophical magazine. I ponder a clock that runs on a battery. Why is it in a Philosophical magazine?
Yeah. Well, what is the clock feeling?
Was that before Scientific American? They had Philosophical American?
That's right. That's right. Also, the clock was featured empathy. Also, on March 9th, 1841, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled the United States versus the Amistad case that captive Africans who had seized control of their ship carrying them had been taken into slavery illegally.
We could probably make an entire show off of this history segment. Have you seen, there was a movie or a miniseries called The Amistad?
Yes. That was the name of it, wasn't it?
Yes. That was the name of the ship, but that was also the name of the show. And the one thing that I can't figure out of this is like, okay, the captive Africans, they seized control of the ship, and they determined that they had been taken into slavery illegally. Shouldn't all slavery have been illegally?
Well, yes.
Okay. Maybe somebody
wasn't, but yes.
Maybe right. They were stolen slaves from another ship. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Okay. Also today in 1842, the first documented discovery of gold in California occurred at Rancho San Francisco, 6 years before the California Gold Rush.
Oh, somebody kept it a secret. And March 9th, 1862, USS Monitor and CSS Virginia fought to draw in a battle of Hampton Roads, the first battle between two ironclad warships.
There's technology for you.
Yeah, that's right.
It was also on this date in 1954 that CBS television broadcasted the See It Now episode, a report on Senator Joseph McCarthy, produced by Fred Friendly. There's a good radio name.
He was a jerk.
if he was for McCarthyism, then he was a jerk.
Yeah, right. The Barbie doll made its debut at the American International Toy Fair in New York on this date in 1959.
All right.
Look, a day over 20.
It was 62 years ago today that Dr. Belding Hibbard Scribner, nice name. That'd be a good name for a band. He implanted for the...
Can you spell that name again for me, please?
Dr. Belding Hibbard Scribner. He implanted for the first time a shunt he invented into a patient, which allowed the patient to receive hemodialysis on a regular basis.
Wow, that's awesome. Also on the date in March 9th, 1961, Sputnik 9 successfully launched carrying a dog and a human dummy.
That was Carl.
Yeah. They just put a hot dog in the dummy's hand. And demonstrating that the Soviet Union was ready to begin human spaceflight.
It was also on this day in 1974 that the Mars 7 flyby bus released the descent module too early, and it missed Mars completely.
Yeah, oops. And on March 9th, 1987, Chrysler announced its acquisition of American Motors Corporation.
Go Gremlins. Oh. Well, that same date in 1997, observers in China, Mongolia, and eastern Siberia were treated to a rare double feature as an eclipse, a solar eclipse, permitted the comet Hale-Bopp to be seen during the day. Remember that was the one with Heaven's Gate people?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good
yes.
stuff.
Oh, yes. You're absolutely right. That's right. Yeah, that was creepy. That creeped me out, not hearing about that. And it was 11 years ago today that the Space Shuttle Discovery made its final landing after 39 flights.
That's pretty good reuse. I'd say they achieved their objective on reusable parts on that. Happy birthday goes out on this day to Italian cartographer and explorer Amerigo Vespucci, born on this date in 1451. If it weren't for good old Amerigo, we might be not named America. We might be called Vespucci Land.
Vespucci Land. German theologian, cartographer, and astronomer David Fabricius.
That's what you spray on your clothes to make them smell nice.
That's right. Fabricius was born 458 years ago today, and that means that he won't care how I pronounce his name.
Amasa Leland Stanford, the American businessman and politician, founded. You got it. Stanford University. He was born 198 years ago today.
Yes, an American soldier and engineer founded Klipsch. Klipsch. Why did I say
Don't
like
you
that?
Buy audio equipment, man?
I know. Klipsch Audio Technologies. Paul Wilbur Klipsch was born 118 years ago today.
You Klipsch those headphones on your head. American classical violin prodigy and theremin player. You know what the theremin is. It's one of these. Yeah. Where is it? Okay, well, anyway, you can't play two of these at once. It doesn't work.
Right.
Never mind. Okay. Clara Rockmore was... Oh, well, now we can play it. Here, this is the theremin because the other music ended. The Martians are coming.
Hey, you know what?
Born in 1911. Yes.
The theremin, it can be cool in the right condition, but sometimes it sounds art, so artificial if it's played
right,
not in the right spot, you know, or it sounds
got to get it anyway. In a Beach Boys song, for example, it sounds cool. Okay, who's next on our list?
All right, so American classical violin prodigy.
No, I already said that one. That was
Russian colonel, pilot, and astronaut Yuri Gagarin.
Gargantuan. Gregarious.
Gagarin was born 88 years ago today.
He would have been 88 today.
Wow.
That's how old my dad will be in June.
Wow, really? Okay.
Wow, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay, also turning 87 today is American engineer. Of course, Yuri is no longer with us. 87 today, American engineer and businessman, co-founded Qualcomm. His name did not have the word Qualcomm in it. His name was Andrew Viterbi.
Andrew Viterbi Qualcomm.
Or Viterbi.
American chess player and author Bobby Fischer was born on this date in 1943.
And born that same date in 1971. Holy smokes, he's 51 years old today, kids. Wow. Actor Emmanuel Lewis.
Wow.
That's not... That's not, don't be confusing him with Gary Coleman. So don't give me what you're talking about, Lewis. Happy birthday goes out today to some of our listeners on March 11th. Andy Helsby of Absablog and Lutely. Ken Kitzman, a.k.a. Kitscan, on the 11th. Also, Johanna Gonzalez, a.k.a. Mighty Joe, is on the 13th. And don't forget, everybody, March 14th is Pie Day.
That's yay, 3/14. I got some pie in the fridge ready for it.
At least in the U.S. it is, where we write our days backwards. So go with that. That's the way it was on this day in history for March 9th, 2022. And if you want to get your birthday on the birthday calendar, Craig, put that link up there for them. Go to chuckchat.com/birthday, because when he puts that on the screen, I can actually read it. I don't have to remember a thing that way. Works great for post-cruise brain.
Yeah.
How many astronauts?
That old brain of yours. Losing the gray matter.
But that's coming up. That's an article we got coming up, and there may be a reason for that. Right. How many astronauts are named Dave? I don't know. Ask Google. It's my answer.
Well, I know one. He was on 2001 Space Odyssey.
I can't open the pod bay doors, Hal. Can't do that, Dave.
That's right.
Okay, let's do this one then.
Good news, everyone!
All right. Well, we have some news. A quick recap, as I mentioned at the top of the show, we just got back from the Star Trek cruise. So I wanted to give everybody a quick recap of how that went, what that went, where we're going. We're going to go deeper into this and probably have CJ with us as a guest for The Topic is Trek over at thetopicistrek.com. So
yeah, we'll be recording that later this week.
Might even be a separate show. There's probably going to be so much content because we got two Picards and two discoveries to work with also, unless you want a 6-hour episode of The Topic is Trek. So,
Wait, spoiler alert, Chuck didn't make it out on a plank, so he made it back.
That's an awful long plank from 11 decks up. Watch that first step.
Yeah.
So we left, actually Donna and I flew down on Thursday the 24th, and arrived at the hotel, found this awesome sushi place, but we're not going to get into all the details. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they do down there, but the shrimp is twice as good as it is anywhere else. It like melts in your mouth and the tail comes off without pinching the tail. It's like,
let's put some things in perspective. Arizona does not have ocean attached to it.
I've been to many other oceanside places.
Okay.
Trust me, this is awesome shrimp. But anyway, aside from the shrimp, there was a Friday night get together at the Radisson Hotel, which is about a quarter mile from our hotel. So we walked over there, met a whole bunch of new people. You know, it was one of those parties where the later it goes, the louder it gets. And then we started getting hungry. So we went over and got some more sushi and then came back. And most of the people we were sitting with had dissipated. So we called it a night, but we met a bunch of people that we saw on the cruise. There's this phenomenon, if you have never been on a cruise, where you see the same 10 people over and over and over again. It's kind of like...
It happens at a con, too. We've had that happen.
Yes.
Dragon Con,
yes. Or when you buy a vehicle, it's like, well, suddenly everybody's got a Honda Accord. Who knew?
Yeah.
But a
cruise is a little more captive audience, so you're more bound to run into people.
Right. And, you know, it's the faces you recognize already. You might not even remember their names. But I did learn a new trick to remember people's names.
Okay.
I take a picture of them or take a selfie with them. Mm-hmm. And then on the phone, I use an annotation, either write with my finger or type with the keyboard and say, this is Ken and this is Destiny and this is Rhea. And that, And it would make a duplicate, so I still had the original, but then I had one with the name on it. And then it would help drive it into the brain, so next time you saw them, you remembered their name. So that was kind of cool.
That's pretty good.
We left from Port Canaveral rather than Miami or Fort Lauderdale or Tampa, which are other common cruise departures. And while we were kicking around on Friday, I think it was, the SpaceX rocket came in on its barge. The first stage that was standing up. And at first we're looking out. We're at this really tall building called the Exploration Tower. We're looking out. It's like, look at that lighthouse out there. That's kind of neat. And all of a sudden the lighthouse moved and it was coming in. So it was actually the rocket on the barge. Got some neat pictures and videos of it going by right in the canal. And it was gone by the time we got back. But let's see if I don't have the entire guest list of what the celebrities were on there, but John DeLancey was there, George Takei, Walter Koenig. Those were some of the major names. Denise Crosby, who's been on the cruise before, Sonequa Martin-Green.
She was new.
Yes, they got a few more Discovery people on there. Anthony Rapp and Wilson Cruz were on there this year. Emily Coates, who plays Kayla Detmer on Discovery, was there. Let me see. If I go through the series, I can probably narrow down who was on there. So from TOS, we had the two, Sulu and Chekhov. From TNG, we had Denise Crosby, John DeLancey. It'd probably be easier if I just pull up the webpage, but I won't. We also had Voyager. We had Tim Russ. We had, maybe I should just look at some of the pictures real fast and jog my brain here. Who else did we have? A lot of great people, mostly the secondary and tertiary characters.
Well, you had Kate Mulgrew on there, right?
That was last time. 2 years ago, we had Kate Mulgrew. Chase Masterson returned again. Terry Farrell was on there. Kenneth Mitchell has returned. He's declining, but he's still got a wicked sense of humor. He has, one of those machines like Stephen Hawking had where he uses eye gestures and whatnot to trigger it and spell out his words. So everything's got to be done in advance. But, Mary Chifa was back.
By the way, anybody that doesn't know, he played Cole in Discovery and he has Lou Gehrig's disease.
He played Cole. He played several characters, including one on Discovery season four.
Yeah. He was still able to speak.
Yeah. Actually. And ALS is same thing as Stephen Hawking. Jane Brooke, who plays Admiral Cornwall, was on there as well.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
John Billingsley, who plays Phlox on Enterprise. Anthony Montgomery, who plays Travis Mayweather. Mm-hmm. Connor Trinneer was on there, who plays Trip. Lots of new faces. We had two from Picard, aside from John DeLancey, of course. We had Issa Briones and Evan Evagora. A lot of the time people were really nice. If you just stopped them at the right time, you obviously don't. Max Grudenchek was on there from DS9, along with Terry Farrell, I mentioned.
He's a staple on that cruise.
He is. So they've got booking for the next cruise will be open March 15th, if you're interested. So just look for Star Trek, The Cruise, and you'll find all the information there. A lot of fun. Did you meet anybody in person?
Did you talk to anybody?
I had a great discussion with Tim Russ on the last night. Evan Evagora. Oh. He was waiting to get into the sushi hibachi place on board. Mary Chifo and her partner, Maddie, were a lot of fun. Dr. Aaron McDonald got engaged on board.
Oh, really?
We just happened to be walking by one of the bars on the fourth deck, got off the elevator, and we saw this big crowd gathered around like the piano bar. And literally right in time for her fiance, Aaron, with A-A-R-O-N. So she's Aaron and he's Aaron.
Oh, that's going to be great when they start saying, hey, can you sign These mortgage papers, Aaron.
Spelled two different ways, but literally, as right. he was saying, you know, would you take my hand in marriage or be my wife or whatever it was? So, I mean, the crowd just erupted at that point. It was a lot of fun.
Oh, cool.
We stopped. It's funny because when you go on a cruise, people say, oh, where are you going? On the Star Trek cruise, I go, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm not there to see NASA or the Caymans or whatever. So I'm there to see the celebrities and see friends that I only get to see once a year and have a good time. We stopped in NASA, Bahamas. We stopped in St. Thomas and we stopped in St. Martin. So there was a few days at sea between there because it's a long way between those islands and everything else. So it was a lot of fun. We did a few new things. We tried the water slide, hadn't done that in the past. So Donna and I had races, they had side-by-side water slides. We did the silent disco, hadn't done that in the past because it's usually pretty late. Like, hey, we're starting this new midnight to 2 a.m. Like, we're going to stay up and do that.
Yeah.
So that was a lot of fun. You put on these headphones. There's no DJ. And if you want to take the headphones off, you can usually talk to people. So you put these headphones on that have a short range radio on them. They're playing two stations. So you can usually switch if you don't like one song. And you could see which stations people are listening to because the headphones have LEDs on them that are green or blue. Are you listening to the green station or are you listening to the blue station?
That's cool.
And it's really funny because if you take the headphones off, you got half the people who are, you know, going, don't stop believing. And the other ones are, you know, singing some pop song that's younger than I am. And it was
if you take your headphones off, you hear a bunch of feet shuffling.
At first, yes. And there was some conversation. But after a while, everybody starts singing, you know, YMCA. And you can't do that song without singing it. So it was just funnier than heck. For about a half hour or so, I took them off. And I think it was it was Don't Stop Believing. I didn't have my headphones on, and I was singing more words than they were. Everybody just jumps in at the chorus. And then they played, was it Living on a Prayer or some Bon Jovi song. I was like, come on, people. Come on. Mm-hmm. Come on. Here's the rest of the words. Line, please. It was fun. Of course, there was lots of great food to be had. We did go to a whiskey tasting. They had sort of onboard excursions as well as onshore excursions. And unlike previous years where you booked a shore excursion with one of the celebrities, they were shore excursions. And if you're lucky, a celebrity would show up, but they wouldn't announce it as, you know, go snorkeling with Chase Masterson or go RVing with Tim Ross or whatever it was. It was like, you're going RVing and, you know, maybe Garrett Wong will show up. On board, it was, this is wine tasting with Terry Farrell, and this is whiskey sampling or rum. You know, some of them were alcohol, some of them were not. We had Chase Masterson's charity breakfast, and we did a whiskey tasting with Dr. Aaron. You know, McDonald, with a name like McDonald, you know.
I mean, immediately after breakfast, you had the whiskey tasting, or is this
no,
a different conference?
No, it was after the t-shirt party where they're passing out free booze. So I was trying to get my money's worth of that free booze on deck.
Then
we went to the whiskey tasting. And by the time we got done with that, I was a little double visioned. I had to go out on deck and clear my head for a while.
Right. So I do want to ask this because I'm curious. I know that there was a lot of COVID protocols going on to the ship.
Yes.
Was that an issue?
Not at all. Not at all. It was, you had to have your double shots and vax or booster. You had to have, and bring the original card. Mm-hmm. You also had to have, a negative test after, what was it, like 6 a.m. or it's midnight Thursday. So you had Thursday, Friday, and part of Saturday before you boarded to get that test.
Sure.
So we went out and bought some that were proctored. And then you show them the barcode that you get on the app. Oh, is it Nevada or something? There's an app that will have the record of it, the date, the serial number, all that stuff is tracked. So we wanted to test before we even went on the plane. Because if you're positive and asymptomatic, I'm not even going to go to Florida. Why should I, you know, get my refund on the plane trip and something? Yeah. So that it worked out all right. And you felt confident. Everybody was negative. Now, there may have been some false negatives. Not, but we never heard anybody getting sick.
Well, you know, there's always that one person that's, I'm feeling a little down, but I'm still going to go.
Many,
you know,
but if you fail that test, you can't go.
I know. I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah. I mean, it happens. You have
to
have that
work,
negative
you know,
test.
And go, I'm feeling all right.
It was really nice to be back in sort of a mode of normalcy. You could wear a mask if you want. Many of the guests, I mean, most of the time I saw, who was it? Bob Picardo. Robert Picardo was wearing a mask most of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when he was around guests and whatnot. When he was performing, obviously he didn't. But yeah, there were some that just, I think Garrett Wong wore a mask most of the time, unless he was performing. We did get a picture of him in the elevator after his comedy act, the day after. So, but he didn't have, he had the mask off. So that's how I recognized him.
Well, I was just curious.
Yeah.
If there's an issue, but,
none at all. Didn't feel the slightest threat.
Well, even now it's funny. Cause even now, like this weekend,
yeah,
we went to a little small, bar near a hotel and, if you had just woken up from a coma, you'd be forgiven for not thinking anything happened because everybody, it was so packed. I never seen so many people back in a bar, like pre-pandemic. So, which it felt good. You know, you see a bunch of people around.
It was nice being able to talk to people like people again. So
instead of, hey, Drake, how you doing, Bourbon?
Exactly. You know, if it did get to be a noisy environment, you know, you could put your head up close and go, excuse me, what'd you say? You know, get your ear closer to their mouth without feeling threatened in any way.
Yeah. So I know you have, and I have, we've been wearing masks and stuff, but I'm so tired of wearing masks. I'm ready to move on from that.
They've dropped the requirements, and there was, you had to still wear them in the terminal building. So when you're boarding and offboarding, and obviously the airports as well. But it was, that wasn't a problem. That wasn't a problem. And I wore one to church this morning, just even though I think Arizona dropped their mask mandate. It's like, I just got back from a cruise. If I pick something up on Saturday, I don't want to be spreading it around on Sunday. So just to be fair to others.
Yeah, sure.
In a few days, I probably won't wear one much anymore, which is a bummer because I bought a whole bunch of Star Trek themed masks from Etsy.
Right. So you didn't wear any of them on the cruise?
I wore a couple for a little while. Mm-hmm. And then I wore like my black and gray mask in the airport and whatnot. So people would recognize, oh, Star Trek, you must be going on the cruise.
That's right.
All right. We have some more show to do other than that.
I was going to say, maybe we should shorten a couple of the articles here.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. Let's go through the new stuff. We have a study that says one drink per day can shrink your brain. This is a study by CNN. And it's more of an association. This isn't an official study that says this is a cause and effect. But they said on average, people at age 50 who drank a pint of beer or 6 ounce glass of wine, which they counted as 2 alcohol units per day in the last month, had brains that appeared 2 years older than those who drank a half a beer or 1 unit. Now, they said it's not linear. If you drink 4, you're going to be 4 years older. Some point, they said, they described what 1 alcohol unit is. It's 10 milliliters or 8 grams of pure alcohol. So, you know, you're going to get different things if you're downing Glenlivet versus, you know, Miller Lite. They said drinking 4 alcohol units a day, 4 alcohol units a day ain't much, kids. It's 2 beers. But 2 beers a day would age a person's brain by more than 10 years. And they had like 36,000 people in this study, but they didn't have data beyond 1 year. So there's more study. It's like, hey, we didn't find a whole lot of hard evidence that we can tie to a study, but more study is warranted on this.
Well, I did read, it was on Reddit. This guy said he had a PhD in, brains. I don't know.
PhD in brains. So do zombies.
So he said he had some insight on all of this. And he said one of the things that is good to remember with this kind of study was, although it was a semi-large group, this was all self-reporting.
Right. So, and it was all in the UK too. So, I mean,
which he pointed out, this kind of study, you're not going to have hard evidence because you're talking about people having a drink. So that's the only way you can really get data is self-reporting.
Right.
So there's a little bit of that. And he said that that it's generally accepted that alcohol does have an effect on the brain. but it's not necessarily that, you know, there's this kind of causality.
There's been some studies in the past. The other thing I picked out of here was that it there's no positive benefits to drinking.
That's not true.
No. Wine's yes, it is. No. The alcohol outweighs the tannins and whatnot you're supposed to be getting out of it.
Not if you're drinking a ton of it.
No. No. Read the full article.
Look, I saw this lady. She was 116, and she said she had a drink of whiskey every day.
And George Burns used to smoke cigars, but one person does not make a
cigar.
He smokes cigars every day. She's like, yeah, yeah. And he would drink every day, but that's a rare exception that these people live that long. Anyway,
there's been studies that say, oh, well, there's benefit to having some alcohol, but not overdoing it, for sure.
Let's go to the study, not a study, but a clinic. What is this? A clinic in Surrey, England, that is doing some new, what do they call this? Not invasive, but moderately invasive. What do they call that?
Interventional.
Interventional. Radiology. That's the word I was looking for. Interventional surgery, interventional radiology suite. So it's a new hospital that's opened up, and they're doing these kind of outpatient surgeries that will either use cryoablation, which is freezing the cells around a tumor, or microwave ablation, which is heating them. So I didn't get a whole lot of details from this because, honestly, the guys presenting in this video are terrible.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
It was very dry. But yeah. I envisioned like a laparoscopic thing where, you know, if, let's say you had some cancer on your kidneys or something, they would go in and either freeze it or microwave it, and that would be the end of it. And you'd be going home that day rather than...
Yeah, with little to no healing you have to do.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, anytime there's invasive surgery, you got some healing to do. No, but
comparatively, it seemed pretty minor what they were talking about.
And it would obviously depend on the extensiveness of the tumor and the spread of cancer. If it was a whole kidney that was eaten up by cancer, you can't really go zappy zappy, you're done. It would have to be spot things. So
they're not miracle workers, regardless.
No. It's interesting because I've got a friend tomorrow that's going in tomorrow for an ablation, but I want to ask more questions about it. Is it related to this? But obviously, I can't ask him tonight. But we'll see when he gets back.
Get him on the phone.
Yeah. Hey, Tom. Did they say they're not sending you over to Surrey, are they?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. We also have another article in the news section before we go. One more from space.com that states Space Force is planning to send a patrol probe out past the moon. And yeah, I didn't really quite understand why. I mean,
to look for that moon base.
Yeah. it sounds like this is just, hey, we're going to go out there just to keep an eye on things because nobody's keeping an eye on things out there. But
SpaceX has to do something to justify their existence, right?
It says it's the first step for them to be able to see, to know what's going on in the cislunar space and then identify any potential threats to U.S. activities. The U.S. Space Force will ensure the peaceful development of space, keeping our missions safe and secure in these distant frontiers, the video states. The responsible use of space and unfettered access to space domain awareness ensures collision avoidance, on-orbit logistics, communication, navigation, and maneuvering. Now, I don't know if this is related to the project that Steve Wozniak is semi-funding to go out and catalog all the space junk, but I know it's not going to happen from the moon. It's going to be more of a low to mid or Earth orbit thing to say, okay, before we can plan any projects to clean up this stuff, we got to know what's out there. And that's on the table as well. So there wasn't any association that I could tell between that mission and this mission.
I'm surprised we don't have orbiter around the moon now. I mean, we've had one there in the past, but
they keep crashing into the moon.
Well, there is that, but no, I mean, why don't we have something? It's right there. I mean, why don't we just have something, even if we replace it every 10, 15 years?
I don't know. What's out there that we need to keep an eye on? The moon isn't changing too much.
Well, how do you know? Because you're not monitoring it.
Because you could see it from here.
Yeah, well, that's true. You
can't turn your telescope on.
Half of it. You can see half of it from here.
Sometimes you can't see any of it because it's not lit up.
That's right.
And the sun's in the way. Anyway, while we're in space, let's go over to the Hacks and Strange Stories.
Personal space.
From PopSci.com, we've got an article about these little, what do you call them, robotic?
Yeah, it says a little robot.
They're 3D printed cubes. They look like a wireframe almost, but they've got some circuit boards and other stuff inside of the cube, which almost make them look like an electronic tesseract in a way.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
And they can reconfigure themselves, which is important. They're going to start doing this in space, and maybe if they can get the details worked out, start doing this on Earth-based stations as well. Why would you want these little cubes? Well, they can rearrange themselves into a number of combinations. Because space is so precious on things like the ISS, you may need a chair one day, and you may need a table the next, and you may need a standing desk the next. And these things can rearrange themselves into those types of furnishings. Wow, we're doing great on the lyrics tonight.
Yeah. So I think that's a pretty cool idea. I mean, we've seen stuff like this in the past, similar, but I guess if they miniaturize that, they could really do something extraordinary, you know, where they kind of...
Yep.
And we end up with programmable matter, you know, like from Discovery. You know, I want a chair. No, I want a table. I want a table and chair.
Well, right. That's what I was thinking at first, too, or where the floor suddenly appears in front of them and they walk on it. I was like, well, that wasn't there 30 seconds ago. Obviously, theirs is a lot more high resolution than these 2x2 or 3x3 cubes or whatever they are. They're calling them...
What century you're in, if you're walking across the floor and there's nothing in front of you, that's got to be a little unnerving.
They're going to look at these in the future. They're going to look at these and go, wow, those are like 8-bit graphics of reprogrammable matter. Like that's how the big they are. Chair.
Yeah, look how uncomfortable this chair is.
You just sit on a circuit board. Who wants to do that? They're calling these electrovoxels. And the article says, electrovoxels offer a cheap and easy-to-build solution. The electromagnetic lining of the 3D printed frames allows cubes to seamlessly attract, repel, or even turn themselves off. One cube takes a little over an hour to make and only costs 60 cents. That's impressive on its own.
That is impressive, yeah.
So cheap and easy. They just got to reduce the size, but that'll probably increase the price. It looks like they have, it could be an Arduino Nano on there, could be an ESP32. I can't really tell from here.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a little specialized controller and then, you know, various wires to.
Raspberry Pi. That's a Pi.
Is that a Pi Zero?
I think it's a Pi Zero.
Okay. So each one of these cubes has a little Pi on the frame and then inside has wiring to control the electromagnets on the corners and sides. The framework between the corners, you know, the, that makes the six sides of what would be a D6. Yeah. The edge pieces are wound with wire. So it looks like they're charging electromagnets on and off. So they've got the coils. Yeah. So that's pretty cool. I want to know how you program these or signal these. Is it an IKEA of Borg? Yeah, there we go. Thanks, Mike Robeson. That's exactly what we're looking at. We are the Borg. We can make furniture.
Right.
Okay. Let's give a shout out to the chat room. We've got a number of people that are out there. We've seen Amy Bowen and Mike Robeson. We had John Miller Jr. a little while ago.
Amy says,
I'm amazed you're doing the show tonight rather than taking a night to decompress from the trip. That was last night, was decompress. That was wonderful, and I'm delighted to hear more about the cruise. Thank you. The show must go on.
That's right.
John Miller Jr.
Mike Robeson.
Ralph Wangler was here.
Yep. Myron Dupler.
Felipe Nascimento from Brazil was here earlier, too. Wow.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah, cool.
We got some listeners all over the place, including the Borg.
That's right.
So if you want to be part of this chat room, there's your cue for another banner, Craig. If you want to be part of the chat room, you can go to our Facebook page. We do this on Sundays at 9:30 Eastern time, which after you change your clocks is going to be Sundays at 9:30 Eastern time or 6:30 Pacific. Mm-hmm. Or you can watch on YouTube.
Yeah, you can go subscribe to our YouTube channel and you'll get notified when we go live. Just hit the little bell and subscribe. So like and subscribe.
I should hope everybody here knows how to like and subscribe by this point.
Yeah.
We are talking to fairly intelligent people. All right. Also,
well, our listeners, that's a good start. So, yeah, right. I would say they're.
Okay. Kill the banner.
All right. There we go.
You got another one to put up here because it's time for the patrons. We want to give a huge thank you to the people who help fund this show because they make this go. There is streaming, there is hosting, there is software upgrades, there's all kinds of stuff that goes into making a podcast besides our two ugly mugs. And these are the people that bring you our two ugly mugs, so blame them. It's Alexis Duran, Amber Elstad, Amy Bowen, who happens to be with us in the chat tonight, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Brian Brown. Thank you to Chris MC, Dan Demand Coyer, Dean Jensen, Denise Inglis, Gary Lindros. Gary wasn't on tonight. Steve London, he's in there. Just saw him put up a comment on there. John Clifford, John Noble, Jorge Schrauen, Kyle Nishioka, Leon, Mark Kilfoyle, Matt Baum, Mike Wills, Chris Martinez, Saturday Morning Media, Stephen Weshey, Steve Therian, Steve Cody, and as I just mentioned, Steve London. All of them went to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And for as little as a dollar a show, you might not think that's a whole lot, but it's a whole lot to us. That can mean the difference of an entire month of bringing you the video here. So very happy that many of you have decided to do that. And we really do greatly appreciate it. We're watching the money wisely and spending it where it needs to be, not frivolously. I'm starting to sound like one of those sending food to Sudan or something. Every penny goes directly to funding the podcast. Nowhere else. That's what we do. So patreon.com/technoramapodcast. And not only do they get their name read on the show, that dollar gets them a special episode of Technorama where Craig and I just kind of kick back. It's like a behind the stage talk with us. So instead of the produced Technorama, we're getting inside thoughts and ideas and what we're working on and how's it going and what we learned. Those kinds of discussions, very informal, kick back with a couple of geeks. Which is kind of what this show was supposed to be, but
it's an extended version. There you go.
All right. The unscripted one. Because
that's right.
This was all scripted. No, it's not. Okay. We have one thing in the past from the remote. So let's play that music.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. Steve London just said it's like 4:25 a.m. in the morning.
Yeah, there you go.
That's hardcore.
Yeah, it is. So let me go turn off this banner.
Happy Monday to you, Steve.
I bet. Turn that off. There we go. And the one thing I wanted to talk about, I know you've been on a cruise, so I don't know how much you've actually watched or anything.
Pretty much all Star Trek. They had
five,
six channels of Star Trek.
So you got to see the Star Trek, the Picard premiere, which I'm not going to talk about here, but I enjoyed it.
Oh my gosh, that was so much fun because as soon as Evan showed up on the screen, the whole theater erupted. Mm-hmm. And then when Issa showed up on the screen, cheers to the ceiling. And then, of course, at the end, no spoilers, but the third member who was on that panel we spoke of earlier.
Spoiler because he's in the trailers.
Yeah, that's true. They gave some cheers for Whoopi Goldberg reprising her Guinan role as well. So it was a lot of fun just feeling that visceral reaction like, and they were in the theater. They were like in the first row. They came up beforehand and did their little intro and then had a panel the next day on it. So it was a lot of fun. Like, I've never been to like a live screening like that.
I was going to say, I think I've been to something similar to that. I'm trying to remember where it was. Anyway, but yeah, it's really cool to be involved in something like, or be a part of that. And anyway, I thought Picard started off with a good bang.
But what have you been watching while I was at sea?
So here's something. It just came out on the 3rd So I haven't. I didn't watch a whole lot last week, except for I'm still making my way through Clone Wars, watching it episode to episode instead of the ad hoc way I've seen it before.
Yeah, because there is a story arc in there.
There is, and I'm missing a lot of nuanced stuff. Although, as I watched The Mandalorian and the Boba Fett, you know, I knew some of the highlights, and I was like, okay, that's from that. But watching it from top to bottom, it's good. It's a good season. So it's series. Anyway, but I'm here to talk about Our Flag Means Death, which is a Taika Waititi project. It's on HBO Max, and it is loosely based on, and I'm going to read you the little thing here. It's loosely based on the life of Stede Bonnet. He was an aristocrat who abandons his comfortable life to prove himself as a pirate. So he was known as the gentleman pirate, and he's having trouble kind of being this pirate persona. He's too nice.
I say, would you hand over all of your gold?
Yeah, that's about it. It's almost like a little bit of Yellowbeard in there somewhere. Although Yellowbeard wasn't nice, but you get the idea.
Their Jolly Roger has a smile on it,
yeah,
and a rainbow.
But it is funny. It's got that kind of dry humor, kind of like Monty Python or something like that a little bit. So, or if you've seen What We Do in the Shadows, which is almost like an Office.
Oh, yes, I did watch. Yeah,
that's what this is kind of like in a way. Okay. A little more on the storytelling part.
Bit of tongue in cheek in there.
Yeah. Oh my God. I think it's really good. So they released three episodes, or at least there are three of them on there right now. And there are supposed to be a few more, and they'll be coming out on Thursdays. So so far I can recommend that. I'm enjoying it. I thought it was hilarious. Especially when he's just trying to be nice, and the ship runs aground and I'm on a beach, and he's like, let's look at this as like a vacation. A vacation? What's that, Captain? And you got to do, you know, fun things on the beach. And anyway, it's that kind of thing.
Our Flag Means Death on HBO Max. All right, gonna have to look for that. That sounds great.
You gotta go check that out. Yeah, actually, I was thinking of you when I was watching it. I was like, I think Chuck will be down for something like this.
That does sound fun.
Yeah. So there we go. That's it. That's all I got.
Steve says, thanks. We love the Mondays.
Sounds like he's got a case of the Mondays.
Not in Sweden, they don't.
Right.
All right. One last thing from the Geek Library, wherever my Geek Library music is. There it is. We have a blast from the past. We have an article from cybernews.com that has the finest retro PCs people use. And there is an embedded video where they cover about five of them. And then there's a big, long list in this article that goes on and on and on. And they've got everything from, I would call some more modern classics, the iMac G3, you know, with the tangerine and the aqua and the different colored ones. They were the all-in-one, the first, I would call it, first OS 10 machines, and they've got, what was it, like a 16-pound laptop from Compaq. It was a 286.
Yeah, yeah, there was this
Macintosh SC. They got your favorite, the Commodore 64, in there.
Yeah, that one thing, it looks like it came out of a sci-fi movie, but it's like a Windows PC, but I'm not sure who makes that. It says, found a really unique luggable. And it is unique for sure. Very, it looks really rich.
These are different pictures than what I saw before.
So if you scroll, down at the bottom, under the article, it looks like they were going through the Retro Battle Stations, which is a subreddit, and you can go subscribe to it, of course. But there's different pictures people have been posting. Like, here's a reproduction case and mouse of the prototype 20th anniversary Mac and keyboard. And then there's this weird, like I said, very sturdy looking.
Oh, the found on German eBay.
Yeah, that's it.
It looks like a version of the old IBM PC portable PC, or the portable PC 2.
But look, it's got a cable coming out, going down, with a keyboard.
You got to connect the keyboard and trackball to something.
I know, but it's just an interesting
with an amber screen. That's lovely.
Yeah. And then there's a couple of PCs that look, like any off the shelf kind of.
Craig, correct me if I'm wrong, but was there more than one version of the C64? Because I remember the tan one with the dark brown keyboard. That is not what they showed in the video.
Right. At the beginning of the video, there was a C64. It was like it came out after the 128. So they use that kind of same design.
It looked like the 128.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It did look similar. I think they brought it out. I want to say it was after the 128. Yep.
Okay.
But there's some interesting, very old one. There's a PET computer on a stand.
They had several PETs in here. They had the S PET and the original PET.
Well, remember when we went to the Computer History Museum, they had all kinds of variations on the PET.
Right.
One was like a cash register type. One was had a keyboard layout I was not even familiar with.
I don't know if you can call the ADM5 terminal an actual computer. Because it was like a VT220. It just hooked up to something else.
Yeah, I don't know if it really did any compute. Well, I would argue if you had a unit, like I would plug up a serial cable to a terminal in the back in the past, and it had to interpret the serial data to.
Yeah, but it's not doing any computing the way that you would conventionally think of.
Not in the traditional way.
Running local applications.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, maybe not traditional way, but I mean.
I like the caption on the picture, though. It says, finally got my work at home set up the way I want it. It's got this old. I remember it was a keyboard with like 10 function keys, and it was an all-in-one unit. So the screen and the keyboard were one housing. It was a CRT green screen. I think I remember seeing black and whites. And there was one knob on it, and that was to control the brightness of the screen right above the numeric keypad. That was it.
That's right. That's it, right?
They had a number of those at the university when I started.
Yeah, you can see the knob on the front.
Yep. But yeah, that's funny because that was my original work from home outfit in like the mid 90s, early 90s, whatever it was.
Wow.
Yeah, I would dial in from home a lot of times.
Wow, you're like old, man.
Yeah. And the girl in the video says, some of these computers are older than me. I went, oh, dear Lord.
Right. Yeah.
If you wanted to find a computer, if you wanted to find a computer older than me, you're going to have to look harder than that.
Yeah.
So it's a fun article and a fun video. Go through there and check them out and see if you recognize any of them. There were some new faces that I hadn't seen. And
I also recommend going checking out that subreddit.
Also Facebook groups. There's one called Vintage Unix Computers that I belong to. The guy who started that, the moderator, the admin of that group is someone that, I used to hang out with online back in Wisconsin. So that was really fun.
That's cool. Yeah. I want to say, I think you told me about, or I think, yep. I think you yep. liked something and I saw it pop
yeah,
up.
Or so. I invited you to the group or something. Yeah.
Maybe.
They're always after, the Sun Spark stations or the next cubes, or, obviously the vintage Unix computers. And, hey, does anybody have a power supply for one of these things that used to die? They used to kill power supplies on a nightly basis.
So right.
Go ahead.
Here's one piece. I was looking in that Retro Battle Stations subreddit, and there's a picture of a gaming setup, and it has Duke Nukem 3D on the screen.
That's not that old, man. Kids. That's not old enough for me.
Not that old, but it's funny.
So that takes us to the end of the show. We do have one question of the week for you before we go. Something to ponder until we come back. What character, book, or movie name would make a great band name? I have recently stopped saying great band name because I think I'm done finding my ultimate band name. But I'm going to start. A lot of great band names also make great album names. If you think about it, a lot of album names are could be great band names. So maybe you name your band after, you could call your band Freeze Frame.
I got another, I got an idea for next week's question.
What character, book, or movie? You mean like The Grapes of Wrath?
Mordor. Actually, I think when I said that, I was thinking of Trogdor.
Gollum. That'd be a good band name. Trogdor.
Yeah.
Trogdor would be a great band name. That's probably it make is. A good. You'd probably get sued if you tried putting that as an album or a band.
Yeah, by Strong Bad.
But what was it? Lady Gaga was her band name was inspired by Radio Gaga by Queen. So I mean, there's lots of history.
You take inspiration for other things.
Yeah, you can get inspiration for other things.
That's the whole mantra. You know, great artists steal.
Mike Robeson says Technorama. No one would ever buy that album.
that band sucks.
Yeah, I have a GoFundMe just to keep them in business.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We do appreciate you hanging out with us. Let's play that ending music and tell you how you can get in touch with us. You can call the listener line, Craig.
Oh, yeah.
707-530-2428 is how you can get in touch with us. Or if you like, send us an email, technorama@chuckchat.com. We've got Facebook page. We've got YouTube channel. We've got all the usual stuff. You can find all those links over at chuckchat.com/technorama. We hope to see you here for episode 668 when we record next time. And we will be recording our Patreon show right after this. And that comes out Monday mornings. Well, except for Steve, it'll be Monday afternoon, I guess. So
yeah.
Thank you for joining me. Thank you for all the help, Craig. And it's good to be back. Chuck. Hopefully I'll have a little more voice next time we record. Until then, give him a binary high five.
All right. 101, everybody. Thank you.